fewer than 600 hardy souls lived there, where cattle outnumbered people 1,000 to 1, and free grazed the bunch grass on open rangeland. The pilot had a contract with the Oregon Cattlemen's Association, which helped pay for his passion for the latest in aviation technology, and he used it to look for cattle rustlers. A big fan of old-style westerns, the irony amused him. He turned eastward toward Idaho and home.
"I'm heading back. Good luck,"
he said into his headset to the detective in the truck below. There was no reply. The detective was preoccupied, navigating a series of vicious ruts that nearly concussed him into the roof of the cab. Bits of notes, a map, and business cards fell from the visor. He let them fall and concentrated. He hated to slow down. Bluffs that bordered either side of the track gave way to a ridgeline, and he felt the land disappear from both sides of his truck. For a second, it crossed his mind that the buckaroos might lead him into a wreck, and in the middle of that thought, he realized that he couldn't see a road or track of any kind. He cranked the wheel to avoid a group of boulders and skidded to a halt. He set the brake and launched out of the truck at a full run. The spit of ridgeline offered few options for escape, and to double back, they'd have to come through him. He had his heavy maglite flashlight, and he unsnapped his holster on the fly. With each stride, his hand swung past it. Just yards ahead, he heard scrambling as hooves met harder ground, then scattered loose earth. The late-season snow wasn't the real thick stuff yet, though it promised, and he was grateful it had held off. He wiped away the sweat that began to bead on his temples. One of the wranglers stole a backwards glance to see how close their pursuer was. Like a camera, the detective's mind clicked a description. Older man, thin white guy, angular, even features, mustache, late 40s, maybe early 50s, and about 150 pounds soaking wet. The detective was close enough to hear the horse's breath and see it in the cold air. Having spent the best part of his wind to get this close, the detective tripped over a rock and swung his arm wildly to catch his balance. The maglite slipped from his numb fingers and bounced off a flat rock. He scooped it up without missing a beat, then stopped. He was alone. He swung around to look behind him. Snow swirled in every direction, and he felt the rush of air as it blew up the cliff face. He inched closer to the edge, saw nothing, then scanned around the narrow plateau with the powerful flashlight. On the ground, hoofprints showed only forward motion, no sliding stops or sharp turns. The horses had gone where their riders had bid them. "What the hell?" he muttered, and then held his breath as he strained to hear them. There was no sound, nothing except the wind. They had vanished like smoke. Chapter 1. The bus swung a wide turn. Its wheels crunched on the ground as it came to a stop by a set of high reinforced gates. A series of these gates had to be negotiated to get into the secure parking lot of Colby State Prison. The buildings inside the perimeter were barren concrete, bland in structure and color, typical of minimum bid government contracting. A group of men walked between armed guards toward the bus. C.J. Burke blended into the wall as he waited at the back of the line. His brown hair needed a trim, and his brown, gold-flecked eyes watched the guards. Tall and strong, his face was attractive, but reflected no joy in life. That was long gone. One of the guards handed him a black cowboy hat. When CJ returned later that day, the same guard would take it back. CJ's life choices had led him there, to another wait for another bus with bars on the windows. But this bus would take the men to a place far from other places they'd known, a place where they would be working with animals more wild than those they knew in prison. For CJ, it was a ride he'd been taking for about a year, and something he looked forward to each time. William Weicker, an experienced horseman working with the Colorado Correctional Department, waited for the bus to arrive, his border collie, Tammy, at his feet. It was hard to know exactly how old he was, probably somewhere in the middle-aged column, dark-haired with tan weather.